For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, we will be pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust we are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast, in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. Matt, could you pray?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, to take that penalty, Lord. And not only that, that you sent the Holy Spirit, that you sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to speak to us. Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Mike, Lord. I pray that you would gird him up in the full armor of God, Lord. Not just this morning, but always. And that you would give him clarity in the Spirit, Lord. That he would be able to deliver your word of truth, Lord. I pray a double portion of anointing on him as he delivers your word to us. And in all, we give you the praise and the glory. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother. I don't know about words like gird up, though. That's an Old Testament, New Testament, Mid-Testament. Old word. Hallelujah. Good morning. My name is Mike LeClaire. I'm the pastor of Living Hope Church, and I welcome you here. If you're a visitor, you're welcome here in this place. this is a good day. There is so much meat in this spiritual lunchbox that we won't have to leave to go to lunch. We'll be satisfied, I think, by the amount of food you're going to get here. And it's really just, it's purely the word of God that's given. So put your napkins on. Gird up your notebooks. That's a word. I don't know. I've just learned. And let's get ready for what God has. This chapter, Paul is on his second missionary journey. So he's already established a foundation with the church at Corinth. And now he's taking them to the next level. And I believe he's taken this church to the next level by this kind of a message that God has given for our church today. First thing is that our heavenly destination, he speaks of our heavenly destination and how we get there. It's a simple process, but it's so deep and so enjoyable to talk about, at least for me. You know why? Because I know I'm going there. And because I know I'm going there, I get excited talking about it. Pastor James alluded a little earlier to us doing a funeral yesterday. And we could talk about the joy of the Lord because the man that passed away is with Christ today. I think the question you ask yourselves as you're sitting out there is, am I in a good place? Am I confident in my eternity up in heaven? Something to think about during the message. It says in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The Bible tells us that when Jesus left, he said it was better that he would leave, for then the Holy Spirit could come. And the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer. And it says that our body is a temple of his Spirit. He dwells in us if we're a believer. Then, not only does he dwell in us, but when we ask for power on high, he fills us with the power of his Spirit to do his work. So we walk not in our own strength, but we walk in the strength that he gives us. You heard three cohesive, beautiful messages during the worship. The people giving those messages are not acting in their own strength. They are acting by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives them the word to speak for the body. And it's an encouragement to all of us. And it was beautiful. And it was done in beautiful order, which is a big deal. What Paul is doing is he's beginning to establish the thing we talk about so often in here, is he's establishing the difference between the physical and the spiritual. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly, lowly, I can look at myself and say lowly. Do you know how hard it is to stand next to Matt when he's here and I'm here? I felt like a version, a mini-me of mini-me. That's how I felt, Stan. But it's okay. It's just physical stuff, right? Body that is conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how does this come about? Well, right now I said that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we're still a temple. Flesh and blood. But he is going to take us to a place where we're a transformed body, a spiritual body, not of flesh and blood. Like the funeral we did yesterday, the flesh and maybe the blood, I don't know, but the flesh is laying there on its way to becoming dust. But where's the spirit? We'll find out about that in just a little bit here. I think you all kind of know. How does it come about? Well, how do we become perfected in that transformation? 1 Thessalonians 4:15, you all know this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The man in the coffin is not there. Dust is there. He is risen. We who are alive at that trumpet blast will rise, right after the people that are dead in a grave, the bodies are rising. There's a little deep theology in there, but the gist of it is to be apart from the body is to be with Christ. So in spirit, they're with Christ. And I've said this so many times because it's so powerful to me. But when Christ died on the cross, his last words were, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." The body is going to the grave, but the spirit is going to the Father. And 50 days later, the spirit came down to dwell in this temple. Thank you, Holy Spirit. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." We should all be longing for the trumpet blast. Now, I heard one go off at about 8 o'clock this morning. People in a prayer room, the shofar was blowing. I'm okay. Still here. But when God's trumpet blast comes, he will take us up to meet with him in the air. And those who you love, who have passed away. Janice, she just got there before you. That's all that is. And we'll meet with them who we love, who are already there. I thank Jesus for that. Verse 2 says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." What a powerful statement. We just came off of the book of Ecclesiastes, hitting a couple of chapters that spoke to what it's like to grow old, which is a good number of us in here. I'm a us now, so I'm kind of miserable about that. But the reality is, the older we get, the more we desire to be with our Savior. The body starts to break down, and frankly, I don't like it. The things I thought I used to be able to do, because I've embellished them, I can't do. I went back about 2 years ago, and I played basketball in the back. I'm going to first tell you, I can still shoot. It's the last thing to go. It is. Your eyes start to go, your ears go, and then the shot goes. And I'm going after a loose ball, and in my mind, I can get that ball. That's what it felt like. Ball. I catch my toe on the ground, and I begin to fall at about the same speed. And I'm going down slow, and then bam! I hit in real time, and it hurt. That's aging to me, and I don't like it. That is the process we go through. And the older we get, the more we long to be with our Savior. The more we know him, the more we long to be with him. Right now, I just ask you to do a check, a self-check. Do you long to be with him because you so know that you know that you know that he is who he says he is? That's right. And it's something to be excited about. And he's given the Corinthians this kind of meat. And then in verse 5, it says that we groan. So we're groaning on our way to our final call home. It's normal. It's miserable. J. Vernon McGee says, we should be groaning all the time. And I'm thinking, well, the groaner should be going to a different church then. I understand the pain, but the natural byproduct of aging and going through what we're going through, there's groaning involved. Step after step, maybe for some. There's groaning. Getting out of bed. There's creaking along with the groaning. Not being able to do the things you thought you could do, there's groaning. Oh, woe is me. Why am I going to watch a basketball game today? Because I can take my mind out of this body that is starting to diminish, and I can imagine myself being them, and that I'm like them. And I'm glorying in being like them. And why does the shortest guy on our staff here want to be honest? Because he's the biggest guy. I don't know. I got issues. I'm working them out. Verse 5 says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." He has given us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee. When you invite the Spirit of God to come into you, he gives him to you. He gives good gifts to those who ask for them. When you came to Christ, he set up his tent. So he set up his tent as his dwelling place in you and me, and then he's given us gift to go out and operate for his glory. All right, that's what he's done for us. But he's also given it as an encouragement to us that he hasn't forgotten us. But here's the point I want to make about the whole thing. But it is by faith. It is by faith. When he gives us the Spirit, if you're excited about the Spirit in you because you feel all the good things that come with the Spirit, I think you're going to lose that feeling pretty soon and you're going to become discouraged. The Spirit is in me because I asked for him. The Spirit is in me because I received Christ. The Spirit is in me because his word says it's in me. And I operate by faith in it. And when I don't feel the Spirit in me, that means absolutely nothing. That means God has taken you from this lowly place to this higher place where you're operating by faith that the Spirit is in you. But when I pray, I don't feel anything. Oh, God's really challenging you in your faith. And if you have to go by feelings for a little while, that just means you still have your training wheels on, really. Your spiritual training wheels that I have to feel to know that he's there. And what does feel do for God? Very little. What pleases God? Our faith. That's what pleases God, not my good feelings. In fact, I think sometimes he could care less about my good feelings. He's going to give me great feelings when I'm on the other side. My feelings are going to be, I can't even imagine them. They're too big. It's not about feelings right now. It's about faith. And he's going to grow the faith in you one way or the other. If you walk away from him, that's on you. But if you walk into him, he is going to grow you. And faith is the area he is going to grow you, which means you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You will go through trials, and you'll go through difficult things. But if you trust and believe by faith that he can deliver you, he will deliver you bit by bit, and he will grow your faith because that's his heart for you and me. Thank you, Jesus. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And when we're walking by faith and not by sight, I believe we are stirring the heart of God. I'm just going to throw this question out there. I said we had three people that gave messages today. And my guess is, now these are experienced believers, but even still, there's something in them that rises up that says, ooh, am I supposed to do this? Should I do this? Should I really give this word? I don't want to take it too lightly. That's God growing the saint. And they gave the word. And I would say they all three gave it with power and with the authority that it was meant to be given. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving through your vessels the way you do. Jesus. Philippians 1:23 says, for I'm hard pressed between the two. This is Paul talking now to a different church, the Philippians. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful. Why are we here today? Because God's not done with us today. He's going to use us to reach his world. Not the world, so much the world, but his world. Reach who's going to be his. Who's going to be his? Those who we reach out to with the truth of who he is. Those who accept him are his. So he has a work for us to do. And what's Paul saying? Paul is on a second missionary journey. The reason why faith has exploded, besides the Holy Spirit, okay, is because Paul was faithful to the call, and he took a stinking beating to deliver what he was called to do. He took a beating like we can't imagine, physically, emotionally, I would say even spiritually. But he believed by faith every step. And for that reason, the church begins to grow in that part of the country. For that reason, the church takes a boat over here to this country, and we get the gospel. And for that reason, churches are popping up all over the place, because two things are going to happen in this day. There's going to be a great falling away. That's what's going to happen in the last days. And we're near the last days. If you look at the evidence of the world and what Scripture says, we're in them. We've been in them since the day of Christ. But I feel like we're moving towards the end of the last days. God is at work. He's at work in all this. But we're to be at work with him in these last days, especially as you see the day approaching. We should be gathering together, planning for how we're going to reach a world that so desperately needs Jesus. Jesus. Second thing is, he speaks about the judgment seat. I talk about this at every funeral and give people an opportunity to receive Christ. Pastor Jerry passed that on to me, and the mission isn't burying the dead. The mission is preaching the gospel, and that's what we do. The pastors here at this church, if you come to any funeral, any one of the pastors up here leading that are going to talk about salvation. They're going to talk about the gospel. They're going to talk about Jesus. And it's a blessing. It's what the person whose body is in the grave, who is now up in heaven, would want us to say to the people that they love. I think God wants us to say to the people we love now without the person being in the coffin. That's the call for the church. Verse 9 says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Are you about pleasing God or are you about pleasing man? I can speak on this because I am an expert at trying to be the nice guy, do the nice thing to please the people around me. God, forgive me. Because I should be the struggling guy trying to please God with everything that's within me by the help of his Holy Spirit, because that is the greater thing that we can do. Try to please God and not man. When I try to please man, too much of myself comes into the equation. Too much of me trying to please them. I want everybody to love me. Walk into that, Pastor Mike. I do want people to love me. I want them to love me because they hear the truth. Amen. And you'll know that I love you because I tell you the truth. Amen. Or any pastor that steps up here, Pastor Jerry says this all the time. I love you because I tell you the truth, he says. I don't understand the grammar of that, but I know what it means. If that makes any sense. Well-pleasing to him. Why? Because our reward is with him. You know that? There's a reward for the believer. Galatians 1:9. This is another church he's talking to. This is the same guy. Talking to the Corinthians, talking to the Philippians. Now he's talking to the Galatians. He's sending letters to them. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, to himself, to selfish things, will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What are the different kinds of people in this world? I started it. There's the people of the world who are lost, who don't even know who Christ is. They don't know him by name. We're to reach them. And then there's another crop of people. These are the lukewarm. And at the great falling away that I just started talking about a little bit ago, at the great falling away, it's the lukewarm that fall away, I believe. They fall away. They have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Do not mess around with God. I've said it many times. We've said it from this pulpit many times. God will not be mocked. And do you think we can conceal our true heart from God? When he lives not next door, he lives in store. And if you're lukewarm, he's probably not even living in store. If you're lukewarm, you're talking a good game. God will not be mocked. And I think it's the cry of the church to let the lukewarm know that he will not be mocked. Get right before him. Get right before God. What does that mean? That means seeing yourself for who you truly are. I'll say it again. In my flesh dwells no good thing in and of myself. But the Spirit of God that dwells in me is perfect. Get right before God. I can't say it any nicer. I could try and be nicer, but then I've what's the word? Caplate? Placate? Placated to the desires of the world. If I'm going to be so nice that, if you would just come to Jesus, I'll buy you a couple cupcakes and have you over for a bonfire. It's good to have people over for a bonfire, but not for cupcakes. It's good to have people over for a bonfire because you're going to stuff porterhouse down their gullet because it's meat that they need to hear. It's the meat of God's word. Tell them the truth. And don't do it in anger like maybe it sounds like I'm doing right now. You give it to them in love. The truth of God, you pour into them in love because their life depends upon it. Ah, but a loving God. We all know that a loving God isn't going to send people to an eternal hell. Oh, yes, he will. Because a loving God cannot deny his holiness. And a holy God cannot even look upon the Son of God when he who knew no sin became sin and carried that sin to the cross. It's your sin and my sin, not his own. And it says the Father turned his head. He could not gaze upon it because sin is disgust in the eyes of God. We have been marinating in sin our whole lives, so we don't know the difference until we come to Christ. And when we come to Christ, he exposes the sin in our lives. He exposes it so we see it, so we can deal with it, so that we can crucify our flesh just like Paul crucified his flesh and said that that's what he's supposed to do. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. If you don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the fact that Christ is living in you, don't separate the Spirit and God here. If you don't feel that conviction when you do wrong, you gloss over it, glaze over it, you need to really take a look at where you're at in Christ. Do you know him? Are you truly his? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your consciences. If you're a believer, your conscience is alive and well. All right? But what's it saying here? There is a judgment for the believer. It's called the Bema Seat Judgment. I talked about this a little bit last week. I talked about it a lot yesterday at a funeral. The Bema Seat Judgment is a judgment for the believer. Most of the people in this room who have given their lives over to Christ will appear at the Bema Seat Judgment. And when you appear at the Bema Seat Judgment, the works that you did in the flesh are going to go through the fire. And the Bible says that they are going to be consumed by that fire. The works that you did in the Spirit, God ordained works, God directed, you being obedient to what the Spirit is telling you to do, goes through the fire as well, and the fire proves it. And it comes out as precious stones. Is that awesome? And at the funeral, we say this all the time. What do we do with those precious stones? Like, what do you need stones for in heaven? I mean, in heaven, we get everything we want, right? That's what I was taught as a little kid. Heaven's amazing. Why do I need precious stones? There's no value in things. It says in Revelation, I believe. Maybe it's not Revelation. I can't remember where it says. But the elders, the 24 elders, fashion a crown. And they lay the crowns of their reward at the feet of Jesus. And I believe they set the example for what we're going to do. That out of our good works, those things that go through the fire and are pure and are good, we fashion a crown and we lay that crown at the feet of Jesus. Oh my goodness. It's all we can give him. So what can we truly give him? The works that he did through us, we give back to him in rewards. Because in my flesh dwells no good thing. Any good and perfect thing that comes out of me is from him. Do you ever hear of Ebets? Raise your hand if you've heard of Ebets. And I'm going to call on you to answer. Okay, good. I don't want any liars saying, oh, I know all about it. Watch my son in second grade. Sally's favorite TV show is watching her son at church live stream. And grandson, I'm sorry. And she can watch everything he's doing, like, teacher always has her arm around him. He must be a special kid. But then when she gets up and walks away, he's goofing around and he's 100 miles an hour. I forgot what I was talking about. Ebets. I don't know how that story fits with Ebets. Ebets. Anyway, I come across this word. And what it is it's bread that the Germans would give to the German soldiers, but it's made of a lot of sawdust, a lot of filler. So it's fake bread, which is a word that they use here, a fake truth, a fake reality. It's not the full substance of the real thing. Christ is the real thing. His Holy Spirit is the real thing. Pretenders don't make it. They don't nourish. They don't do anything good. There's nothing that good dwells within them. But at the judgment seat, that stuff gets consumed. The stuff that is real, that was done by God, comes back to him. It's the greatest gift we can give him, is what he gave us in the first place. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 speaks to this whole thing that I'm talking about. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through the fire. So at this Bema Seat judgment, when we stand before Jesus and our works go through the fire, that which is consumed, I believe we suffer regret. And I'll say this oftentimes, and it's at that time that Jesus will lift us up and wipe away every tear from our eye at this regret. And then I believe it's then the stuff that went through the fire that was of him, which is pure, which is good, I believe we're going to suffer, or not suffer, we're going to experience joy like we don't even know how to explain. We're going to experience this good feeling, which we don't really understand because it's heavenly and it's so far beyond us. And we'll fashion that crown and lay it at Jesus' feet. Romans 14:10 speaks a little bit to it about how we handle this. But why do you judge your brother? Okay, it's really clear that Jesus is the judge. So why do we judge our brother? It's the biggest problem in the church right now, I believe, is brothers judging brothers. Brothers calling out brothers for no good things except opinion. It is rampant in the church, and it's divisive, and it's separating, and it's separating. And every group that's separated from the main group thinks that theirs is the right thing. And what we get away from, and I've heard said this before, we get away from the foundational things that we're supposed to be about, which is the presentation of the Word of God to people, to grow people, to make disciples, to grow people from babes, to grow people who don't even have Christ in them yet. We have a missionary in Africa, Jason Witt. Some of you know him. He spent 11 years talking to a guy. I think it was 11 years. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And boom, the guy gets saved. And the moment he gets saved, he's ready to go and work because he's been discipled for 11 years before he came to Christ. That's a powerful. By the way, you all support him by your giving. So powerful. For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You've heard that even in the prayer earlier today. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. At the Bema Seat, it's such a beautiful thing. But there's another reality that every knee shall bow, says in Philippians, and every tongue confess above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. How do you communicate that today? Do you say, oh, I bow my knee before you, God. I bury my face in my hands on the ground, and I say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You have been Lord my whole life. Or do you say Jesus Christ is Lord because you're compelled to? Because you didn't say it before. Away with you to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It'll be too late. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day that you get it right between God. And if I know about it, it doesn't matter. If this is something going on deep in your heart, wonderful. Today is the day you come to Christ if you haven't made a decision to follow him. Sometime today, if you've never done that, you do that. You can be by yourself. It's okay. Jesus. Back to judging just a little bit here. For we know, this is Hebrews 10:30, him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, it is, because in Psalm 110 or 111:10, it says, fear the Lord, for that is the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have all those who keep his commands. Man, vengeance is his. Don't judge one another. I know there's scripture that talks about confronting a brother or sister in Christ. That does have to be done. But it's not a judgment where you're emphatic saying you are done. That's God's business. It might be a judgment where you say you're done here, and God has passed that business on to us. Or I am done with this person. I've given them everything I know. I've loved them as much as I can, and it's not received. Now it's God's business. The judgment is in order to step out and reach out. Judgment of the heavier order is by God and him alone. We're not here to replace Jesus' role in judgment. We're here to work with him. And he says to do that first by loving. First by loving. Especially each other. We confront, like it says in Matthew. And we talk about things that are out of order. But the call is to love and to do that in love. But judging people, looking at them and judging, are you out there judging the world because of the things you see on TV? What are you doing that for? They're already judged, the Bible says. Jesus said, he said a lot of things. I'll get to that later because I just forgot it. How can I forget what Jesus said? Don't judge me. That'll come back to me. So what can a believer expect? 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Remember I said about what happens to the believer? There's a crown of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. The righteous judge will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Are you excited for the return of Jesus? If you're a believer, you're excited. If you're wavering, you should be scared to your shorts, man. I'm telling you, you should be scared if you're waffling. Don't waffle. Make your decision today. It matters. It's an eternal matter. And then just very quickly, Revelation 2:10, James 1:12 talks about the crown of life. Revelation 4:10, the elders casting their crowns before the throne. It's what I shared with you just a little while ago. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:12, we do not commend ourselves again to you, but we give you the opportunity to boast on our behalf. This is really about Paul validating himself, not for himself. This is about Paul validating himself to those who will go out and say, this is what Paul said, and they'll hear him, hear them. All right, that's what these next couple verses really deal with. And I know you've already gone through in your life groups on these scriptures, but you can go back and relook at those. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 1:10. For I do now persuade men, or do I now persuade men or God? This is what I talked to you about before. Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And I just wanted to give you the scriptural address to that thing that I just spoke. And now the third thing. Third thing speaks to a new creation, reconciliation, and an ambassador for Christ. Verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. In other words, as Paul is speaking here, he knew Jesus in the flesh. If you go to Galatians, how he knew him in the flesh in Arabia. I think it was more in the spirit. But the rest of the apostles knew him in the flesh. That knowing him in the flesh is no more. Now they know him by his spirit. His flesh is not the same as what it was before. His body has been transformed. It's not a fleshly body. It's one that has been translated, if you will. I don't know if that's even the right word. It's the body he had when he visited the apostles and he just appeared at this place, or he appeared at this place, walking through walls. He could do that with this kind of body, the same kind that we'll have when we're up in heaven, I believe. And that's what this is speaking about. who are the new creations. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We're the new creation. Converted people are new creations in Christ. There's a decisive break with the old way of life, and we embrace Christ and his will and his way. When we are a new creation of Christ, everything about us should be different, except for your height. That's went down a half inch. Not too thrilled about it. But the person, I am a new person when I came to Christ. And not just am I a new person, I am a saved person. But I am still a growing person. He's growing me and perfecting me and you who have come to Christ to be something different than what you were. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is happening when you come to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. You have to be changed. You cannot be the same coming out that you went in. You cannot be with God in a current state apart from God. You don't just get there because you so want to. You have to be changed. Pastor Mike, you asked me to raise my hand. A couple weeks ago, I raised my hand. I'm good. Well, you're better. You're not good. Did you surrender to God when you raised your hand, or was this just a look at me? Did you change? Is something changing in you? Did this make its way to this? Did it get to your heart? David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's what we're talking about. It has to get to your heart, and that heart has to break. I'm going to tell you right now, by the way, this vision statement that we have has been the bane of my existence because I have not done a good job of explaining it. Do you know what broken people really is? Broken people is this. My heart of stone is pummeled or crushed. It's fractured. That broken heart is what has to happen. I cannot walk around with a heart of stone. And when this breaks, my new heart, my circumcised heart is one of flesh. It's malleable. It's what God can use. That stubborn, hard, cold, religious thing isn't what he's going for. That's the thing he was obliterating with the Pharisees. This is the one he wants. A broken and contrite heart. So when I say that we're broken people, I know that offends some. I am sorry. I'm not here to offend you. I'm here to tell you the truth. This broken heart is what's required. Humility is what God desires from you and me. Why? Because now he can work through you. Now he can do the things in you that he wants to do. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. He can do those things because you have a heart that listens. You have a heart that wants the glory to go to God and not to you. You have a heart that's been changed. And this is what God has called for the new believer. A changed heart. This is what reconciliation is we change our lifestyle from what it was to what it is called to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now I'm going to get right into the next one. In verse 18, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. I don't go to God and work things out and reconcile to him. That's ridiculous thinking. He came to me and reconciled me to himself. He does the work of reconciliation. I do the work of obeying. I do the work of following. But he does the reconciling. Who am I to think that I'm going to have God change his way? I don't have God. God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. I am called to change. And if I am, hallelujah, so are you. And he has given us the ministry. So now he has changed us, but he also has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, not taking the sins that you and I have committed and putting them back on us. No, he reconciled us. He took those sins off of us and took them on his son, on himself. He did the reconciling. We are to do the changing. He does not change. Thank you. And he has committed to us a word of reconciliation. He's given us two kinds of reconciliation. Reconciliation through the word, and then reconciliation through ministry. Two big words. We need to know the word of God, and we need to know the call of God, that we could share the word of God that we now know because we studied the word of God. Why? For the purpose of God. Why? It helps us with our growth and our obedience to him, and it builds the kingdom. And if we don't do it, somebody else will, I believe. But we are called to do that. Pastor James, if you could come up. I only got 3 pages left, and I think we could do this. So who's reconciled? Colossians 1:20 says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. He has reconciled us. He has taken us from a place of enmity with God, which took place in the garden at the very beginning of all things, to relationship with God, communion with God. He did that work. And we should be ever so grateful. And then the verse I shared with you earlier, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth they will bow. Those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. Colossians 1:23 says, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If you've heard the word, and I believe you've heard the word today, the word was preached. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The very basic gospel is, if you are apart from Christ, you invite him in. You say, God, come into my heart and be the Lord of this heart. Break it as you desire. Change it as you will. And forgive me of my sins. And he was faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness that we've committed. When you do that and you make him Lord, he is now your God. He is the God. And you are his. And if you do that with the right heart, the right spirit, nothing can take you out of his hand. You are not the lukewarm. It was real because it made its way to the heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And what do we do with that? In verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You and I are ambassador. An ambassador goes to another nation. You're sent from a nation to another nation to reach people on behalf of your nation. That's exactly what God does with us. He sends us from his nation, his world, which is not of this world, as ambassadors to this world. For what purpose? To share of him. To make him known, that people would be known by him. That's what the ambassador does. Who are the ambassadors? Those who are his. You and I, believers, are ambassadors for Christ. Now, we may not have played it out, but the foundation has been laid to be ambassadors for Christ. If you get away from people-pleasing and get towards God-pleasing, you will be effective at being an ambassador for Christ. So the gospel is what I said before about Jesus. What I want you to do this day is process that and ask yourself the question, do I truly belong to Christ? Have I surrendered to Him? Is it real because my choice was real? Or am I playing some game that makes me look kind of good? Am I playing some kind of game that makes me look like I'm a believer because it pleases those around me, please my parents? My children are finally happy that I made this decision, whatever it might be. But to take an inward look and say, where do I stand in this? And I'm going to tell you right now, when I go home, I'm going to do the very same thing. I just got done screaming for 15 minutes. I'm going to go home and I'm going to take that same look that I'm asking you to take. Where do I stand? Just to be sure. Just to be right about it. Just to examine myself. And you know what I'm going to find? I am His. And I'm going to say, ooh, there's some flaws that have been revealed to me. God, what do you say? You and I take care of these flaws. I'm going to give you my flaws. Got it. That's what I'd like you to do today. As a church, as an individual, do that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Let it be so. And then the verse that we started with, how did He reconcile us to Him? For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Your sin can't keep Him away from you if you invite Him in. He took that on Himself. So, Father God, I pray right now that by the Holy Spirit, you cause each one of us to take a deep look inside, examine ourselves as to where we truly stand with you. Lukewarm, burns. Lost, burn. Hot, I believe, hot, get rewarded in heaven. I want to be up there with everybody in heaven. Amen? So, Father God, right now, do that great work in each one of us. I bless each person here in this room with a mind that is open to the things of you. And I come against anything that come against these vessels here in this room, and myself included. Let the enemy not have a day here. But we cast him out in Jesus' name. And Jesus, do the work that you would do. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Pastor James will close us.